Okay, good afternoon. My name is Jan Peleska. I'm going to present, to give a presentation on model-based testing, about how test cases can be automatically generated, how test data is automatically produced from models, and test procedures and other things can also be automatically created according to the model-based testing paradigm. Now, the situation as we see it at the moment is as follows. The general model-driven system and software development paradigm has become established as a best practice, at least in certain application fields. There are companies who are automatically producing code for models, and this works in a satisfactory way. Not everybody is able to create good models, but some companies know what they are doing. Now, what I'm going to do is I would like to advertise model-based testing, which has been an active research area for nearly 20 years now. And there are many results available, but our impression is that many companies are still hesitant to adopt that as an integrated part of their verification and validation process. So I'm here to advertise model-based testing. So, why are we doing that? We are doing that already in practice. Our experience is that model-based testing is fit for industrial application. It's not just a research area. And the most important point I would like to advertise is the return of investment into test model development is significant. So we are happy that from this approach we are gaining reduced verification and validation costs. At the same time, we get increased test strength because the automated generation of test cases allows us to test more than we would do in a manual way. And also, last but not least, the accumulation of certification evidence. Think of traceability matrices. This is done automatically as well. So this is the main focus. And if you would like to hear more details, I will tell you about the preferred workflow that we advertise for model-based testing. I will tell something about test model development, requirements tracing, and how test procedures are generated and executed. Now, let's first look at the workflow. The conventional workflow with manual test procedure programming is like that. You start from the requirements. From the requirements, you have some best practices how to identify your test cases. These test cases are then traced back to requirements. You compute your test data in a manual way, and then you execute your test procedures, preferably in an automated way, and then do an evaluation and so on. So what's new in the model-based testing workflow? You have two additional manual steps. That's the test model development, where your requirements are transformed into a model describing the expected behavior of your system under test. The important point is that your model is not only created, but linked back to the requirements. So the elements of your model, your components, interfaces, your state machines, or whatever you take for describing behavior, those things are linked back to the requirements. This is manual, and this is extra effort, and you need a certain expertise to write adequate test models. But as a return of investment, all the other steps are completely automated. Even the identification of test cases is fully automated because we can derive them from the links of the model to the requirements. And I will now illustrate that in a more detailed way on the subsequent slides. Okay, so what about test model development? Whatever modeling formalism you use, whether you take SysML, this is what we advertise, you could take Simulink, whatever, it's all in a rather equivalent, I would say. Whatever modeling technique you use, you need to specify your interfaces. This is what you can manipulate during the tests and what you can observe when your system under test reacts to your inputs. You model some structural aspects so that a complex system is functionally decomposed into manageable subsystems. And then inside these manageable subsystems, you describe the expected behavior. We are preferably using state machines for that, but you could think of activity diagrams or small procedures, C-like procedures describing that. And in the end, you have a model that reflects the expected behavior of your system under test and shows which things can be addressed during testing. For handling test models, you got two basic options. The one thing is you create your verification and validation team creates a separate test model. This is the preferred way when either you don't have a formal development model, you just have text in your requirements, then of course you need a formalized model so that test cases can be automatically produced. The other situation is when you have a formal development model where you create code from, but you have some doubts whether it's complete and correct. Then redundancy helps. Your V&V team sets up a separate model. From that, we automatically generate test cases and procedures, and our test engines run that against the system under test. And as a consequence, you uncover errors in the hardware-software integration, in the code generation, whatever compiler you use or some code generator, but also in the development model. On the other hand, some companies are very mature in their model verification approach. They use model checking, review techniques, and so on, and they believe their development models are really complete and correct. In that situation, you can derive your test procedures from the development model or an abstraction thereof as well. Then you have saved the money for creating a separate test model. But of course, you have invested time and money into verifying your development model. Both approaches are supported by our test software, and you can use whatever you like. We have customers with both aspects who are using both aspects of the modeling variants. So let's talk about for a few minutes about requirements tracing. Now, the objective of model requirements tracing is you link the model elements to associated requirements so that you know in your formalized model, in your state machine, in your interfaces and components, this state machine is there to implement or to reflect that requirement that was informally written in your textual specification and which you typically have in your door system or in any other requirements tracing system. And from this link, you can formally derive the suitable test cases you need. And in that, we have invested many person years of research activities. We can prove that the test cases that we derive from a model that is linked to the requirements, that these test cases are adequate for the criticality level of your system. If you are developing an aircraft DAL A system, then we can show with these types of tests you create sufficient test cases in order to fulfill the certification requirements. If you have a system of lower complexity and of lower criticality, then you have a smaller test effort, and our system advises you how to do that, and you can, so to say, you input the criticality and your model, and out comes a test suite that has been completely generated for you. This idea to link model elements to requirements is very nicely elaborated in the SysML modeling languages. With other languages, you can do that as well. If you are a SCADE fan, you can link SCADE model elements to requirements, or you can do that with Simulink. There is no problem. But in the SysML language design, it's very nicely realized that the requirements tracing is a let's say, a first-class citizen of your modeling language. So here, for example, we have a simple state machine that switches some lamps off and on with a certain period. And there is a requirement that says flashing is done with 340 milliseconds on period, 320 millisecond off period. Obviously, the state machine switches these lamps on and off, and it observes the appropriate timers to do so. So this state machine is responsible for realizing that requirement. So what you do in SysML, you link your transitions and your states to that requirement and just say, this realizes that requirement. As a consequence, test generation can be done automatically, because if you want a test for requirement 002, you just follow the links backward to the model elements. And then we have an internal calculation mechanism that transforms all the concurrent state machines into logical formulas. These formulas are very long in the end, like 20 pages for a decent sized system, but you don't have to read them. You don't even see them in our tool. So this logical formula is now exploited to say, create test cases so that these states and transitions are covered. And this can be internally represented by another logical formula. And in the end, all boils down to mathematical constraint solving. And we have something like 50 years experience worldwide how constraint solvers are constructed. And this is done, you can see that in our booth, this is done within seconds, so to say. And out comes a sequence of inputs to the system under test, input vectors to the system under test, combined with timing conditions. Sometimes you have to wait for a certain time until you deliver the next input. And these sequences of inputs guarantee that these test situations will be covered in the test procedure to be executed. And so lots of mathematics under the hood help you to fully automate the test case identification problem, provided that you have a precise model that is linked back to your requirements. And so let's talk a bit more about test procedure generation and execution. This is what I just told you about how the test cases are identified and how the concrete test data is created by means of an internal constraint-solving process. Next, for test procedure generation, you have two alternative approaches. When you have developed a novel system, your standards like DO178C or so, they advise you first to do requirements-based testing. So what you want is you list your requirements, let the tool look up which test cases are required for covering these requirements, and then you tell to our tool, just create a test procedure that does these test cases, because this helps me to cover that requirement I'm interested in at the moment. For regression testing, an alternative is interesting as well. You know you have changed a subcomponent of your system, and this subcomponent is reflected by a block where you have your state machines underneath that describe the behavior of your block, but basically you have fiddled around with what's inside that block. Then you can tell our tool that it should create all the test procedures that are useful for covering this part of the model that has been changed. So it's important that a suitable model-based testing tool supports these two paradigms, requirements-driven test generation and model component-driven test generation. And both of these things can be done with our mathematics that we handle under the hood. So here's an example for the first situation. This is a requirement that we have loaded from your requirements tracing system. And by means of the model that you have created, we know these test cases are important to execute for the current criticality level that you have identified for that requirement. And then you just drag and drop these test case identifiers to another panel and say, create an executable test procedure for me that covers exactly those test cases. Under the hood, there are rather ugly formulas associated with these test cases because they identify which parts of the model have to be covered in order to reach that testing situation. But this is all done internally. You just say, please create the test procedure as soon as possible. Alternatively, you use the model browser that decomposes your model components down to the states and transitions. And then you just mark this model subcomponent should be covered in a regression test, perform your drag and drop movement, and out comes a test procedure that performs all the test cases that are necessary for retesting this model component that's reflected here in the browser. So these are the basic ideas. And I will just give you a few remarks about the testing strategies that we have implemented. And if you are thinking of selecting a model-based testing tool, please compare that tool whether it has all the strategies that we have already implemented. For the simple, let's say, level C or level D applications, it's certainly enough to cover all states and perhaps all transitions in your system. And of course, we are supporting that, create all tests so that the transitions of your model are covered. For more critical systems, you need more complex strategies. We support MCDC coverage. That is, if you have complex conditions guarding the transitions in your model, we calculate all the MCDC conditions and you get different test vectors so that all of them are exercised. For concurrent components, we have a special algorithm that, as far as I know, nobody else has at the moment, so that certain important pairs of communicating subcomponents, state pairs, are exercised so that you are exercising component one and state one in concurrency with component two in state three. And all of these test situations are automatically calculated and you can run them against your concurrent system under test. Last but not least, we have a equivalence class testing strategy, which has guaranteed error detection capabilities, and you can apply them for systems with very large input domains like analog data sampled from somewhere so that you can't enumerate these things in an explicit way, so you need equivalence classes. And the unique selling point of that strategy is that we create equivalence classes that are supported by some mathematical theory that have guaranteed fault detection properties. We can prove that certain types of errors are always uncovered, provided them that some hypotheses are met. And this is very good for certification because then you say you have a guaranteed fault detection in your test strategies, and of course this is certifiable. And I am running to the conclusion of my presentation now. I just would like to point out this unique selling point has, with that, we have won the second place of the European Innovation Prize that was distributed 4 weeks ago by the European Research Commission. And this novel strategy has won us there the second prize. So that you know we are doing something that is accepted by other researchers. This I've already told you. I would just wrap up here. First thing is model-based testing is fit for large-scale applications because these constraint solvers are powerful enough nowadays to solve all these complex logical equations. The second thing is our efficiency measurements, when you apply model-based testing in comparison to conventional manual test procedure programming, they are very optimistic. Even in a new project where we have to create the test model from scratch, we have a 30% efficiency gain in comparison to manual test procedure programming. In the best case, where our customers give us regression test jobs with updated models, so they already deliver the models to us, we just put them into our tool chain, out come the prepare test procedures, and we run that. We have an efficiency gain of 90% in comparison to manual test procedure development. And with this promising result, I would like to conclude my talk. Thanks very much for listening.